Welcome to the Teaching Self-Government Podcast with Nicolene Peck. Improving your life, uniting your family, changing the world.
Welcome to the Teaching Self-Government Podcast. I'm Nicolene Peck, and I'm joined here with my daughter, Paige Baumert. Hi, Paige. How are you?
Hello. Oh, just peachy.
Peachy. All right. You're even wearing peachy today. So that's kind of
exciting. True, huh?
Yeah, that's kind of, no wonder you're peachy. All right, Paige. So today we are answering a question about phones. The question is, what age should a kid get a phone?
Oh, now, it's going to be controversial today.
It might be controversial. People could not agree with us. Although I think that they'll probably agree with us more now than they did 5 years ago. So 5 years ago, I made a video called What Age Should a Kid Get a Phone? And in that video, I talked about what we did with phones at our house, which you know was a little bit different than what everybody else did with phones. And that was because I saw what was coming and I'm like, you know what? I'm no idiot. We are going to be very deliberate about this. So that video's had 24,000 views. And I actually am happy to do the title again here on a podcast because I feel like we know so much more now. So much has happened in 5 years.
Especially with technology. Yeah, stuff changes real fast with technology.
Yeah, it does. And we've just seen actually what is happening to the youth. And I know in the title it says kid, but I don't like saying the word kids very much. I try not to. It's not my favorite. And it's truthfully because there's like a Bible verse that says that he had his lambs on his right hand and his kids on his left. That was almost like a little derogatory, you know, toward kids. And it was used as a derogatory term. Like the less favorable, right? And so I don't like it. But it's a little weird to call people lambs. So I usually stick to children and youth. So when I don't throw out the word kid, focus with me. That's why. Anyway, I could at some point. Okay, so in 5 years, we know a lot more about this conversation. We've got data that is proving all kinds of things. There are people around the world that are making dramatic decisions when it comes to technology. There are comments being fired everywhere, school board meetings, legislatures, there's books being written about this topic. This is a huge topic of our day, and I think it's really important that we have some time to talk about it. But before we do, Paige, as is tradition here at the Teaching Self-Government Podcast, we got to come up with a fun family activity or something that we can share with people. What type of a family activity do you have today?
Well, you know, since we're talking about technology and phones, we're going to play telephone without phones.
Right, without phones. Because the game is meant to be like, oh, this is funny, like a telephone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's really fun. Like, there's obviously lots of different ways you could play it and get creative. But obviously there's one where you're standing in a circle and you whisper in each other's ear, but you could have everyone stand like 10 feet apart in a different room and you'd have to go and curry the message to them or, you know, whatever it is. But you have one person who shares the initial message and then it goes down the line and you can only share once and you have to share what you hear. And usually by the end, it's something completely different unless you've got really good whisperers. Message.
Do you know, I love this game because it's always tons of laughs. Little children just love it. They're like trying to listen and they're doing, but even big people like this game. There is just something about that. There is stuff that is lost in the phone. It's lost. And, you know, we can talk to each other. Like here we are, you know, in different places. We can see each other. We can talk to each other. And we can get the point across pretty good because we can check with each other. But there is something to be said for when you see somebody, you understand more about what they're saying. When you know someone, you understand more about what they're saying. And so on the phone, there has always been this like, am I really getting it? Am I understanding? Are they really okay? They're telling me they're okay, but are they okay? You know, that type of a thing. And I think that that game really brings that to light. And as we're talking today about phones, I think it's a perfect game to talk about. I think it's a fast game too. You can play it fast or you can play lots of rounds of it. And you can play it long, whoever wins or gets the closest gets to go next. And you could play it for, a long period of time. And some children may really like that, actually. But it also could be super quick. It does make me think, though, of the actual problem that we're having with phones, with these devices that we carry in our pockets, which are probably giving us all cancer. I mean, I don't want to go quite
Well,
way
I
down
keep
that
mine
road.
in my purse, so.
Well, that's good to try to keep it out of cancer range, right? I'm probably gonna get like right butt cheek cancer or something, because it's always in there, because I'm right-handed, or like left thigh cancer, because I always have pants with it and it's in the thigh, Anyway, but these things, like I look at this and I'm like, what a blessing and what a curse, right? For this phone, this simple thing that we carry in our pockets, because I would not be able to run my business. I would not be able to be in the legislature running a business, taking care of things as a family, as a mother, as a grandma, doing family advocacy work, all the things that I would do. I would never be able to do those things without this. Never.
Well, you wouldn't be able to do it to the scope that you are doing it.
And not, well, right. I wouldn't be able to keep up on all the things. I wouldn't be able to reach the people. Like, our ability to reach the people, the amount of freedom that this device can, put in our hands is incredible. Like, we can see all the different ideas that are out there. Or, let's be honest, because of the algorithms that are on here, we could also go into a platform, a TikTok or whatever, and we could only see one idea over and over again, because the algorithm is set to what we are looking for one time. And then after that, it's always there. And so then it seems like it's true. And there could be social groups, and there could be all kinds of things that are giving us these messages that aren't actually true. Which is kind of like that telephone game, right? Like, we could be getting tons of messages that aren't true. And I have to tell you, Paige, and you know this because you talk to parents too, but there are so many parents that contact me because their children have gotten into some really scary stuff online. Groups of people who tell them to do illegal things, dangerous things, things that would harm themselves. Things that would harm other people. They teach them and train them how to be unhappy and
And
how
make
to
them feel like
hate.
it's the right thing to feel.
Yeah, that's the normal thing. And to be disconnected from all the other people around you, it's shocking. It really is shocking to me that that's the normal. And I think about this too. I think this has all happened in just like the last bit of your life. You had a time where you were alive before kids had cell
Oh, I
phones
remember
and computers.
landlines. I remember us all gathering around the receiver and recording a silly answering machine message as a family, right? And I remember when you and Dad got your Blackberries. It was so cool, that's how Dad started running his business, and you and yours, and anyway, but we're like, oh, that's so cool. And then the smartphones came out, and that's when everything changed.
And I didn't want one at first. I was like, no, that's so stupid. I don't need that. I don't, whatever. Those apps, how am I going to learn how to use them? It's so overwhelming. I don't want that. I said the same thing about email, though. Now email's a dinosaur, practically. I mean, email's like snail mail, and now apps are like the new internet. I'm like, oh,
Email
okay.
is the more professional way of communicating.
Yeah, exactly. People were like, did you see my email? I'm like, oh.
No.
Hold on a minute. You know how many of those I've
Did you
got?
shoot me a text?
Like, you better tell me if you want me to go see the email. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We live in a time right now where if I were to pick this up and call certain people, especially of certain generations, if I were to call like somebody who's 25, let's say, or 22, and they just happen to be a person I know, say they're a person from church or just down the road or something. And I were just to pick it up and call them, they would look at it and be like, rude. She's just calling me?
Like you didn't text to see if I could call you?
Yeah. You didn't text first. Like, we lived in an age, okay, I especially lived in an age when, I mean, I told myself I was going to never use text. I'm like, that's stupid. A phone is to make calls. We all know what a phone does, you know. Yeah, the making calls is like a little side note to the phones now. That's not really what the phone is for.
No, it's a mini computer.
The phone is for all the texts and all the things. It's not for calling. But people like me, we still pick it up and just start calling people. And people look at that and they're like, oh my word, this lady, what's wrong with her? You know? I mean,
No, I
we
group myself into that group of people too, because I even tell people, I'm in the throes of motherhood. If you really want to get my attention and you need me right now, call me. That's going to be the best way to get my attention
There
because
you go.
sometimes I don't answer my texts for hours, or some texts even sit for days because I leave it unread. So I remember, oh, I got something to do. I got to remember to do this.
Yeah, right. No, that's what I do with mine too. I'm like, those are my to-do lists. That's not like my immediate action. I mean, you know, whatever. Yeah, exactly. All right, we could go on forever about the ways that we use our phones, the habits that we have, but the point is, these are central pieces to the lives of people in our society. And parents, whether caringly or because they didn't know, unknowingly, I don't know, they started handing these things to children's back in, you know, between 2010 and 2015. I remember thinking as soon as I started happening, some of these children in the neighborhood having phones, smartphones, and stuff, and I was like, oh, this is a disaster. This is going to be a disaster. These children are going to end up having addiction problems. They're going to have relationship problems. If they run everything on a smartphone, this is going to be a problem. And I was like, that's what I'm calling because I could just see the addictive quality of it. And sure enough, some of those same first children that I know that their parents gave them cell phones, smartphones, and some of them were your friends, Paige, and they left everything they know to be true. They left everything. Their family relationships are hurt. Their foundation in anything that resembles an actual truth was shaken. And they got sucked in to a whole other way of life that made them lonely, isolated in their own worlds. And it's just been so sad to see them struggle. So let's talk a little bit about this generation. But I think before we do, we've kind of forgotten something, which is we usually always describe what
I didn't
lens we're going to
forget.
look through. Okay, well, of course you do. Go for it, Paige. What lens are we looking through today?
Obviously, the lens of self-government. So, the self-government is defined as, it's in two parts. First, being able to determine the cause and effect of any given situation. And second, possessing a knowledge of your own behaviors so that you can control them.
Okay, so we're going to look through that lens today. And I think we have to specifically say, okay, if you're not in control of you and you've got one of these things in your pocket, could it control you? So, like, my thought is either I'm in control of the phone or the phone is in control of me. Either there's a craving calling to me on the phone, or I am thinking to myself, I need to use the phone for this one thing, and then I'm going to be done with the phone. I'm sure we've all gotten lost in a doom scroll at least once,
100%.
many, maybe more times than that, because it's a super common thing that can happen. And we realize, and there's a weird guilt that follows it. You're like, what just happened?
Where
Did
did
I just
that
do
hour and
that
a
to
half just
myself?
go?
Why did I do that? Yeah, and it's just like, whew, poof, gone. And so, yeah. So can it control us? Can it take over our thought processes? We have
100%.
to agree that it can. It can if we let it, if we're passive, if we're not paying attention. And let's talk about children and paying attention. Do they know what can control them and what can't control them? Are they kind of passive sometimes? I mean, just think of them in front of a video game or a little kiddie TV show or whatever. They're sucked in. They're just right there like, Vegetative state, right? They're not thinking about standing up to stir the dinner like we might do. Even we could get sucked in and burn the dinner. All right, so this generation is starting to be referred to as the lost generation of youth who are fed by social media and screen stimulation. They're just lost. And I
Well,
think
it's
they feel it.
because I'll say I think that name comes from when you dive into social media and all the things that can be on a cell phone or on a smartphone, then it's really easy to not actually have a purpose and to not have a goal for why you're using the device. Because some people, they really truly only use it, even smartphones. They've got a few essential apps on their phone that help them with their work and help them with, the needs that they need to meet and the roles that they play. And so, but then other people have got all the games, all the social media, all the things because they see it as something else.
Yeah, no, it's true. And it's sad because at the time where you're actually just sitting at home in one place for a really long time, and you have all these convenient things on the phone at your disposal that where you could be so incredibly productive, purposeful, everything else, you're
Well,
actually
and as
sitting there in a lost state. Because you don't know who you are, you don't know the point, you don't know where you're going, you don't know your value. In fact, people are putting your value into question all the time.
and you don't have a purpose, at least in mind, or you've forgotten it for a moment.
I'll never forget something that your husband said to me a little while after you had your first child. And she was maybe 2 or maybe a year and a half or something. Anyway, and I remember he said to me just in passing in conversation, he said, "You know, I kind of always wondered what my purpose was. And now this little person shows me my real purpose, like who I'm supposed to be." And I know he has a strong attachment to your children, and he tries to be just such a good daddy, and he wants to be present, even though he's got to
He
provide
does.
and do all the things. I mean, yeah, I mean, he really wants to have that bond and that attachment. And that's because for him, that is a sign of purpose. And that's that's a beautiful thing. And I think that is what family and what having a family is supposed to do. But interestingly enough, we've got all these lost generation people who have been convinced online that they do not want to have a family, that it would get in the way of their life. And you have to ask yourself, what is your life? This thing? This little
What does your life
rectangular
consist of?
thing?
No, I actually remember in between the ages of 19 and 21-ish, I went on a service mission for our church. And for the first half of that, so I was gone for a year and a half total, and for the first half of that, we had, what our family lovingly calls dumb phones. So
Yes, the
it was one of the
no
kind that slide
data.
up. No, and you've got the full keyboard, from the side slide. And
You're
it was like
cooking three
slightly.
times on something to get a letter.
Oh no, it wasn't a 9 key. It was a full keyboard. But it was interesting because, obviously during this time, my purpose was to be devoted to, serving other people and stuff like that. So obviously I was very focused on that and not as focused on myself. But the second half of this mission, we were introduced and allowed to have smartphones. And so, because like, okay, well, some of the processes we have are going digital, so you need to get a smartphone.
I remember
And
I
like,
sent you one. I was like,
oh
here, okay, I bought you one. I sent it.
I'm like, okay. Anyway, and so me and this, other person I was with, we spent a day just setting everything up and man, we got so lost. I felt so disconnected from this person that I was serving with that whole day. I'm like, well, what just happened? Because we were told that we needed to use our Facebook account, that we all had one before we came on this mission, but we didn't really have access to it, didn't really use it, and Over time, I was fine with that. I'm like, okay, cool, whatever. I'll send a weekly email to my mom and call it good, right? But once we were given that access back, and sure, we had parameters, but it's a little bit of a free for all while we were getting things figured out. It was a serious drawback. This friend of mine and I, we were just sitting in the library getting everything set up, and we looked at each other and we're like, holy cow. Is that the time? Have we
The
really
whole
just
day is gone.
spent, yeah, have we really just spent this much time, both of us looking at our phones instead of looking at the people around us, seeing how we can help, seeing how we can love, and even at each other, like, whoa, that was a weird day. Okay, we
No,
gotta
and
get
that can
back to our
happen.
purpose.
Yeah, no, it can happen to anyone. And I think that's kind of like the essence of that, lost generation. And there's a lot of people who really do feel lost, alone, and like there's not a lot of point. So
Lonely in a group of people.
yeah, so let's talk about this. Let's talk about because we got to get to what age should we give them a phone, and then and why, and how to do that, and we want to get to that. But just quickly, like, why do we give them phones? I mean, at the time in 2010, 2015, in that area when the people were starting to give smartphones to kids, and phones in general to them, I think that it was more of a novelty. But I also think it was like, well, there's no pay phones, so you got to
Landlines
be
are
able to
going out.
contact them.
Yeah, so they wanted constant access to their child.
I mean, I think it was a safety thing. I think a lot of people were thinking of it as a safety thing. And then as it went over time, okay, I think that instead of a safety thing, it switched to, well, they're going to need this technology. They're going to need to understand this technology. And you just declared very eloquently how quickly the technology changes. So I don't know if you really have to know every bit of technology, like just boom, right then, because it's going to change all the time on us. But people were like, they have to have this, they have to have this. And then soon that was disproven. Like, no, they don't. Like, they, as long as they know how to think, that they're gonna be fine, right? Like, this is so easy, it's so intuitive. And we just keep making it more and more intuitive. And so then the focus really became in the social media and stuff. In the social, that really did, not that they really wanted their children on social media, like people were trying to be careful about it, like, ah, should we not? And then it was like, well, all the kids are talking on social, all the kids have phones now, and that's where they discuss, and they're
Well, I
Snapchatting,
think even social media platforms had an age limit for a while. They said, no, you have to be this old to be on here.
I mean, I think technically they still do.
Yeah.
I think it's like 13. I don't know. Some states it could be different because it depending on the state, there might be a pop-up that happens if you're trying to sign up. Anyway, it was 13 for a while. I think it might be 16 in some places. Like, so I think technically that's still a thing. But anyway, because actually, I mean, come on, that was like the little disclaimer for the social media people, like, oh, you can't get mad at us if your kid gets sucked in because we told you they have to be, they must have lied, or whatever. Anyway, and so then there's been this push to, hey, we want to ID kids or ID people to get into social media because we got to know their actual age because it is dangerous. So people now are still having their children have phones because they're like, well, there's some good influences on them. Well, the people from church contact them on there. Well, that's where their friends are, and they get so depressed and they get suicidal. They can't have access to Snapchat. And it's like, whoa, if your child,
So, it's gone too far.
way too far. If your child gets suicidal because they can't have access to Snapchat, that is, in my mind, a sure indicator that they should not be on Snapchat.
Massive red flag.
Yes, that means it is controlling them. It is controlling them. They are not controlling it. So, super important. And so now we're
Well,
at
I
this
think people, as
stage.
I say, people are realizing now that all these things are actually a hurt more often than a help. Because sometimes, I mean, social media is great, but you have to have, I mean, speaking from personal experience, you have to have quite a bit of resolve to say, okay, I need to remember what this person's name is. I'm going to go look them up on Facebook and then I'm done. Then it's going away. Because, oh, wait, there's a reel. Oh, that looks interesting. 30 minutes later, you're like, oh, I was doing something, right?
Ooh, I
And
hate that
so
so bad. Like right now, I had something I was gonna do today, and I had to talk to my business manager about it, Richard, who helps us. And I'd talked to Richard. I was like, I gotta tell Richard something. And I got looking at something on my phone. I still can't remember what I was gonna tell Richard.
did you ever actually call him?
No, I did. We talked about things, but there was one
Oh.
thing that we were supposed to talk about. I don't know what it is. Still to this day, or
You'll
to this
remember it at
moment,
like midnight.
yeah, I'll be laying in bed. Oh yeah, tomorrow I gotta talk to Richard.
But yeah, no, like it's been interesting, especially my different phases of life. I like when I was in college and I wasn't married yet. I had roommates like, yeah, I was on my phone a bit, but I was also like, I'm here for an education. I got to make sure I study and, stuff like that. And all that was done on my laptop, which I don't really do social media on my laptop. So I was pretty good there. Obviously, I still had setbacks and drawbacks and whatever. But then when I got married and, I was a stay-at-home mom, I still am a stay-at-home mom. But I had, one child to take care of, especially when I first got pregnant. If I remember correctly, Joseph, my husband, he would be off to work and I was at home just chilling.
Being pregnant.
Yeah. Taking lots of naps. That was part of
And
it.
now I think I'll look at my social media account.
Yes. No, and now, I mean, fast forward to now, I have three children on the outside and one gonna be on the outside soon, third trimester pregnancy. Anyway, and I have found that I use it way more often than I should. I'm like, oh no, what is going on? But because I've been taught to analyze myself and my behaviors and stuff over time, because my mother was just amazing at helping me with self-analysis, I realized that whenever I have a larger intake of social media in a day, then I am more selfish. I
Oh, I
am
bet
more
you get
ornery.
grumpy.
I do, and I get annoyed at my children because I'm expecting to have me time and to be able to shut my brain off and not have to worry about regulating and managing other people's emotions and behaviors and teaching them and guiding them and fulfilling my role as a mother. What?
It's called
And so
entitlement. I mean, that's what it
no,
really
it
is.
is. And so I've taken multiple measures to not be on my phone. Or if I am, I have to tell myself, if my child needs me, I have to put this down, no matter what I'm doing. And I have to tell myself it is okay, that
Yeah, so
I
you
am
have to
not being
pre-teach
inconvenienced.
yourself. That's actually really important. We should put that on a different podcast called What to Do as a Parent if you are addicted to your phone. Or if you are
Ooh,
on your phone too much, that might be
yeah,
a good
follow
one.
up to this podcast,
Yeah,
this episode.
might be a good one. Yeah. So Paige, what we're talking about here, I think people know, right? And they know there is a consensus that phones are hurting children. We've got
Well,
parents
in
who are
studies.
showing up to school board meetings. Oh yeah. We've got, I mean, the most educated around us are like, no, my children will play with wooden blocks. Like, that's it. They're gonna do Montessori, they're gonna do wooden blocks, they're gonna do experience life. We've got
Well,
some
even the
countries now.
CEOs of like Microsoft and Facebook,
The tech companies,
their kids don't have tech. They're like, we see what it does and we know we're truly marketing it to do what it does, but that's why our kids are not having any.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and there's countries now that are brave enough, like some Scandinavian countries that are saying, you know what? Even in the youngest of children, they are not supposed to be on screens. Their schools are going to be completely hands-on stuff. They're going to be out in
Going back to
nature.
paper.
Yeah, paper, but also running around in the woods and, and stuff like that. And so they're trying to help them get back. But here's the kicker. And I think this is probably the most compelling thing for me is that the young people are actually speaking out against phones. Not that they're fully off them yet, but they know there's a problem. They know there's been this movement to get phones out of the classrooms at school. And when the conversation first came out, it wasn't really the kids who were complaining, it was the parents. The parents were
But now the
saying,
kids are getting older and recognizing.
Well, the parents were saying, well, but we got to contact our kid. Like, Like really anytime you're going to be a disruption to your child's education. Like they're going to have to manage two things at once, and then you're going to wonder why they got bad grades. Like you're going to be calling them in the day and texting them in the day. Like what? You know, that's not a good educational environment, right? And the parents were the ones that were actually struggling. Well, so then some of the schools just some of the classes said, nope, we're not having phones. And the teachers started putting the phones in pockets out at the front of the class, and no one could have their phones. And then a book came out called The Anxious Generation, which talked about really what's happening so much with phones and how this is leading to a lot of anxiety and this whole therapy approach to raising children, which didn't used to be a thing. And I think that really got enough people's attention that finally they were like, okay, this is a problem. So like in our state, we made a law 1 year to say no phones in the classroom the very next year. Just this year, now no phones the whole day at school, not just in classroom. We're talking the hall, we're talking everything. We call
Like
it
they got to
bell to
stay
bell.
in the locker. Oh, bell to bell. There you go.
Bell to bell ban. It's a bell to bell ban. If you've got a phone, you better keep it in your pocket or your book bag or your backpack and do not bring it out the whole day. From the beginning of the day till the end of the
So then,
day.
what's the point of even having it, I suppose?
Exactly, that's the point, which means that other young people should be able to come to school without a phone and socialize. Because the socializing won't be happening theoretically on a phone. And do you know what? This is so interesting. So, two little quick anecdotes. One of the film people who makes YouTube videos for me, she films for me. She said to me one time when I was making a video about social media or something, she said, "You know, Nicolene, I got given a phone when I was 12." And here she was. She was 17 at the time. Anyway, she got given a phone when she was 12, and she said it was terrible. I said, "Really?" She said, "Oh yeah." She said, "I was so addicted, and I was so depressed all the time. I was so down." And she said, "And I was everything was just Snapchat and all these, you know, social media apps." And she said, "And then one time I went to a speech by a guy. And he dared us to go off of our phones. He told us he didn't think we could do it. And he told us what it was doing to our brains. And it was the first I'd ever heard of that." And she said, "And so I decided I needed to completely go away from my phone." She says, I completely went off of it for months. And I unloaded all the social media and just got off all of it." And she's like, "And finally I got my life back." That was huge. And so that's one anecdote. So, and we'll call it anecdata, okay? Because I think anecdata really does teach us a lot of things. So, another piece of anecdata is I was judging a homecoming queen competition, and I was interviewing the candidates for homecoming queen and asking them various questions. And I asked them all, I said, "So there was a law that was passed that said, no phones in the classroom." The bell to bell hadn't been passed yet. I said, "It said no phones in the classroom. So, how do you feel about this? You know, what do you think people are thinking about this?" Every single one of those candidates, and there were multiple of them, there was one that hesitated a little bit. All the rest, just as point blank as you could say it, they just looked right at me and they said, "You know what? That was the best thing that happened to our school. People actually talked to each other again. I needed that myself. I needed to get off that thing." I mean, they were grateful for it. And then they said, "Yeah, there's a few kids who are mad. But most people actually really like it because we all talk to each other now. We didn't used to." I mean, that's huge.
Well, in a society that doesn't actually talk to each other face to face is not a society that's going to hold together very long or very strong.
Yeah. So anyway, that's where we're at. And young people are speaking out even. And, you know, I know I've seen multiple things, oddly enough, on social media, young
No.
people that are speaking out, you know. But our children are they're losing out if they're on their devices and on social media and gaming and stuff all the time. They are not gaining their reasoning skills, their critical thinking skills, that independent thinking, because they get hooked into an algorithm. We all get algorithms attached to us. And they get theirs attached to them, and they don't have a backstory that's the same as like my backstory as a parent or even yours, because you did have years of your life that you can remember where you didn't actually have a phone, where you went outside and you watched the clouds go by. You dug in the dirt, you thought
Oh,
things
big
out,
holes.
you sewed things with your hands, you cooked
Learned how to
stuff
crochet.
from a book. Right?
Yep.
You did these things, and you actually like read books and read scripture and read, and so you have like a foundation there. But some of our young people now that are on phones, they do not have a foundation. Their
Yeah.
foundation is social media and the algorithms and whatever. And so
And the
they don't,
internet, and
yeah, they
yeah.
don't have independent thinking. They are groomed what to think.
Well, which means their creativity goes downhill. And actually, I have a fairly recent experience with this. Lately, I've allowed myself to let my children watch, more movies and some TV shows that are kid friendly, just because, third trimester pregnancy, I'm like, okay, I think I need a minute to have them distracted while I get something together so that I can waddle my way around and not have to try and see if there's any children beneath my stomach, right? And so, in fact, just this last week, I allowed them to watch quite a bit of TV, actually, and more movies, because we do movies, and I've found some TV shows that I grew up on, like Dragon Tales and stuff like that. So, anyway, but yesterday, and even today, when we're filming this, my daughter, my 4.5-year-old, almost, whenever there's a down moment, she's been saying, "Hey, mom, can I do my exercise videos? Hey, mom, can we watch videos on your phone? Hey, mom, can we watch a movie today?" I'm like, "No, no screens,
She's
none."
addicted already.
I know. And so I'm like, "Ugh, what have I done?" I need to have other activities for them to do when I, am needing a minute as a heavily pregnant woman, or something like that. Because usually our family culture is we have a movie night once a week where they watch a movie, and we do it as a family, and then we're done for the whole week. And so, but I've been lax, and I'm like, "Ugh, shoot, what am I doing to my children?" And
Yeah,
even my
it doesn't
two-year-olds.
take long.
No, their playroom is right in the TV area, and they'll go in there, they'll play for a little bit, then they'll look at the blank screen, they'll go, "Moomy? Moomy?" I'm like, "No, we're not watching a movie.
Yeah,
We're all
see that?
done."
They know, they get trained like that fast. And so we're all creatures of habit, right? And we can get
Yeah.
trained and we can get sucked in. Okay, so let's talk about what to do about it. Okay, so we know what's going on, we know there's problems. The children are losing their abilities to focus. They don't have discernment. They don't have that foundation.
Yep.
They're lacking social skills because of this. There's a lot of things that are happening to them. So we have to say, okay, so when can they get a phone? Can they ever get a phone? Or are you just saying, listen, let's just not have them completely? And I think if I were to just be completely candid, what I would say from my experience is this. Does a person need to learn how to use devices and self-govern themselves with devices? The answer is yes. But do they need to learn it at age 5? No.
No.
Do they need to have their own device when they're 10? No.
No.
Do they need to have their own device when they're 14? I would say no. They don't. In fact, we took a pretty hard line in our family, and I know, for some of the children that may have seemed a little extreme, but I mean, we probably got away with it a little bit more because we were a homeschool family,
Well,
but
and it was before the time where people were really handing out phones to their kids.
well, I mean, no, not really, especially with London and Porter, no.
That's true. But like with me and Quinn, like I was junior in high school age around the time when, phones were prevalent.
When
Just,
people were starting to have everyone have them. Yeah, exactly. So
Yeah.
that was a little different. And we did have a kid phone. It was a flip phone, like you talked about, but you didn't get a smartphone until you were 18. Quinn didn't get a smartphone until he was 18. Actually, probably after that, because
Yeah, I think he was
he
closer to 20.
left. He left. Yeah, that's right. He spent a couple years in Japan and then came back. And then, yeah, when he was like 20. And so, But London got one at 18, and then Porter did get one at 16.
There was a reason.
There was a reason that the dumb phone, the flip phone, had died.
Well, that's one of the reasons.
But yeah, well, the other reason was he was incredibly self-governed.
He was ready for it.
Incredibly self-governed. And to this day, he is. That boy, if he sets his mind to something, he stays the
Done.
course. He focuses. He does it. He gives himself no answers. If he's like, I'm eating healthy, then that's it. He's eating healthy. Don't even ask him if he wants some sugar. He doesn't. He's not going to do it.
No, he's so good. He's such an example, even to me. I'm like, bro, you are such a pillar. I look up to you in so many ways. And
Yeah, no.
he's what, 6 years younger than me?
Yeah, he just is really, really rock solid like that. And I think he saw a lot of people around him struggle, and I think that taught him. I think he saw a lot of friends. I remember he came to me when he was like 10 or 9 or 10, and he's like, "Mom, all these kids, all they do is talk about is online gaming. Mom, I need new friends." He was like, I want people who know how to talk about regular stuff, who can have a real conversation. That's what he would say to me.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, this kid is mature. So anyway, so he got one when he was 16, but even so, there were restrictions on it. I think a lot of times people say the consensus, age that a lot of people say is 16. I think many people would say that 18 is probably a little bit harsh,
It depends on
but
the maturity level, and I'm actually a very firm believer
yeah.
of that because looking back, Quinn and I, we were definitely more impulsive than London and Porter, and even with all the training and teaching and stuff that you gave us over the years, there were still times where we made decisions where we're like, oh,
Well,
after the fact.
you guys were more like just your personalities were just more impulsive personalities. London and Porter are more planned.
And more resolute, I would say. So I'm very much a oh go with the flow type of person. Yeah, I fly by the seat of my pants. I have a rough outline, but if things go differently, we'll adapt. It's fine, no problem. That it was a good call on your and dad's part to wait until we were a bit older, where we had more time to do that self-analysis and to take situations that we observed and apply the lessons we saw to our own life. Because London and Porter were very good at that. They saw and they applied instantly.
Well, they saw your
And
mistakes. I mean, not to put you on the spot. They saw your
it's
mistakes and Quinn's
fine.
mistakes, and they were like, lesson learned. I
Yeah.
will not do it that way. Or they saw your successes and did the same thing. Aha, that's the right way, And
Yeah.
they got to learn from seeing you guys. And so it put them a little bit ahead of the game.
Which is fine. Yeah. So, but it really is a maturity thing. So, and one thing I know you and dad always taught us is a phone is a tool, not a toy. And so that's something I've been trying to help my children understand and myself. I have to keep telling myself that when I have a desire to disassociate and go scroll or quote unquote give my brain a break, or whatever it is, from managing my emotions, prenatal hormonal self, as well as the emotions of a 4.5-year-old and twin 2-year-olds. So, it's a very busy time. And so there is that desire to not have the brain do anything. And cell phones and scrolling and stuff and social media are a really great way to do that. I shouldn't say great, but it's a very convenient way to do that.
I think people feel entitled to do that now.
No, they do. And I mean, I can say that because I have felt that in the past. So I have felt like, oh, I deserve to have me time. And then that expectation of me time is shattered when my children decide to not go to bed right away when I put them to bed or whatever it is. And so then the rest of my day is trash. And then I stay up late because I feel like, oh, my me time was encroached upon. I must increase my me time later into the evening.
No,
And
that's
so
right.
I've learned as a mother that entitlement is a huge hurdle, and it's something that I didn't realize that I had and until especially this
Yeah,
pregnancy.
but honestly, I think it's generational though, because there's been all these screens, there's been all this convenience, there's this culture of everyone needs to have some little letdown time with their phone to catch up and to whatever. And so We all think, oh, I gotta go answer all those messages, and then, oh, look at that notification. And that one, and then I get sucked in. And I think it's a culturally accepted thing to do. But then when you think about it, to make a young person, a little person who needs your training and your love and your acceptance and needs to feel like they're a human and not be
Let's feel
part of,
loved.
yeah, not be part of a cell phone driven culture. The fact that you'd make them wait for you to do that kind of doesn't make a lot of sense, you know? It's really interesting that people feel
Well,
so entitled to do that,
I've
but we all
noticed
do.
that, when I do misuse my phone, that, there will be times where my daughter will come up to me, "Mom, can you read me this story?" And I would take one look at the book, and my brain goes, "That is a really long book. I don't want to read that." Because I have been trained by my brain, Facebook reels or Instagram reels or TikTok, instant
Your attention
gratification.
span.
Yes. And then I feel immediately guilty. I'm like, "Ugh, she wants the story. I need to read the story." And so I have to deliberately, and it's like a fight with myself to put the phone down to start the book. And then, 4 or 5 pages in, I'm like, "Oh, okay, fine. Yeah, this is fun." But it's a
Now,
fight to overcome myself
okay,
to
so
be a good mom.
here's a really interesting thing. When you were a child, when you were her age, and even when you were older than her age, you were like a focuser. Like you were like focus. And you could sit and do, you would read a whole book in one day. You would sit and just read the book the whole day long, read the book. That's what you did. And you would be like, I'm going to read this book today. And it'd be like 20 chapters long. And you're like, I'm just going to read it today. And you would sit down and you would
I
do that,
remember that.
or you would make a project and you would make the whole thing in one day.
I still do that sometimes.
And that was your way. But when you were even little tiny, so her attention span is she can sit through a big, huge, long story. And so look at what has happened to your attention span because of the digital age and because of all the connection. So this shows you another thing that is happening to our young people, because you were, of my children, the most dialed in focused.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate truth that I've had to reconcile with because of all the phone usage and social media usage. And it's sad, as a mom to be like, "Okay, I really don't want to do that, but now I feel bad because I don't want to do that."
Yeah, but you can't, you have to, that's duty, right? That's duty. Okay, so we
Yeah.
can't talk about
Anyway,
motherhood every time, all the time.
sorry.
Yeah,
Hey, that's
okay.
where I'm at.
I know.
Work with me
Okay.
here.
I know. I know. Okay. So we got to get to the real key points that we want to make. And you were hitting on one, tools versus toys. That's important. I used to always tell you guys, listen, this is a tool. So dad uses it for his job. I use it for my job. But if it turns into a toy, it's crossed over a line. Like there's a boundary, right? And you don't, like, you wouldn't take a tool like a circular saw and just like whip it out of your pocket and just be like, all the time. Like, no, there's boundaries for it. There's rules for it. You have to know the role of that saw, right? And so the same thing with the phones for us, okay? What am I using it for? We tell ourselves ahead of time, I'm gonna go in and I'm gonna do this for my work and da da da, and then I'm gonna be done. And you don't let it control your life. And Porter's able to do that just like all the time. Like he
He's
just
so
does that
good.
with his life, which is fantastic. And when he's not using it as a tool, he goes and does other things with real tools, which I love. But also, that phone has a role then, if it's a tool. Then we've given it a role. This is a tool. If it's just randomly there, just something to, it's just in our environment and we don't give it its role, then it could easily turn into a toy and it gets messed up. And we need to also make sure our role, right? So my role with the device is I am the leader. I am the master of this. I have to be, because if not, it's going to control me, right? So that's super important. So there's a couple of our four basic skills. Now, if you have learned anything about teaching self-government on these podcasts, on my website, teachingselfgovernment.com, and any of the books or whatever, then you know that we teach different skills of self-government. And there are four basic ones that kind of form the foundation of a lot of the ability that a person has to control themselves. And Those four basic skills of self-government are following instructions, which is the basic of all basics, and then accepting no answers, which is the hardest for most people to do. And
That's
then there's
fair.
accepting consequences and disagreeing appropriately. So I want to talk just about two. In order to not have that thing control you, you have to be able to accept a no answer, which means you have to be able to look at this thing, say no. And so then you say, okay, this is a no answer. I'm going to be okay with that. So you say okay about it. You keep a calm face, voice, and body, and then you drop the subject. You put it down and say, not touching it,
Well,
not
and that
using it.
requires respecting yourself as an authority figure in your own life.
Your role, you have to know your role as the master, right? Yeah, so you have to own that. So
And
then
put
after you
stock in
can,
it.
right, yeah, exactly. And then after you can give yourself that no answer, then you can give yourself an instruction and you can say, now I'm instructing myself to go and do something else, to walk away from this thing, right? And then everything's okay. Then everything's fine. So if a person can give themselves no answers, follow instructions from themselves and other people, and no answers from other people too, if they can accept consequences of their behaviors, if they can disagree appropriately with somebody, then, and they do that most of the time, and they're like, maybe 16, 17, then maybe they could graduate to a smartphone, and I would maybe put some training wheels on it at first, have some apps that make security, put Bark on there or some of those different things. And, I mean, they're changing all the time, whatever one's the best. And you put
Some
those things on
monitoring
there.
systems, yeah.
And pre-teach them about the boundaries and the usage of this tool.
The expectations.
It is so important. If you teach them ahead of time, like this was literally me with Porter at age 16. I'm like, okay, Porter, the dumb phone has died. So
Officially.
we can either go find another dumb phone or we can get you a basic smartphone. And it could be one that you can, just have and use into college or whatever. But, and we think you could handle a smartphone. We think you're self-governed enough. But here's the rule. This phone has to charge in our room every night. If it ever, even one time, does not charge in our room, it will be taken away and you won't have it. And he was like, okay. And does he know that I will keep my word?
100%.
I will keep my word. And all my children know that. Me and
Yup.
Dad, we're consistent. If we tell you, then that's it. Yeah, I'm sorry if it's disappointing, but that's it. Because we weren't afraid of disappointing you. We were more afraid of not teaching you what you needed to know. And we knew that that sometimes meant that you would feel disappointed in yourself. And that you needed to handle that, that that was part of growing up. You had to learn the lessons, right? So I told him that. I also said, we're going to have this safety app on your phone and you're not going to know how to get into it. And we're going to, at any time, I can just take your phone and look at it and you can't be offended by it, no matter what. Plus, I can see all your activity on my phone too, just so you know. And you always have to keep this thing enabled. If it's ever not enabled, it will be taken away. Ever. And he was like, okay. And it was like, and when you use your phone, don't just sit in your room and use it. You need to be kind of like out in the open. And he was like, okay. And we talked about all the things. And if you don't, and all of this. He never, in the whole 2 years where he was the only child at home because he was the youngest, and London's 2 years older. He was the only child at home. He never didn't have that thing charging in our room. He never sat in his room and just used his phone. I never saw anything on there. Whenever I checked it, whenever I looked at anything randomly, it was never there. His stuff was always enabled. And you know what? He was hardly ever using the thing. He
Well,
was
it's not because he was
doing real
afraid
life.
either. He wasn't like, oh, mom's gonna hurt me if I do something. No, he had no desire to do anything stupid.
Right. Well, because as part of the pre-teaching, of course, we talked about addictions. We talked about the thing controlling you or you controlling it. We talked about, I'm like, look at the people around you, Porter. Do you know the ones that are addicted to the phones? He's like, oh, yeah. And he didn't want to be like them. He could tell the difference. He could see the difference when he was 9 years old.
Yeah,
He did
that's smart
not want
kid.
to be that kind of a person. Exactly. And so, he just really, really stepped up. It was beautiful. And this is one of my favorite stories to tell related to technology. We pre-taught all that stuff. And my husband and I went out of town. We were on a trip. That we had to go to for work, probably. And we were coming home. Our flight changed. So it ended up coming home a day earlier than we thought. I think we were in Italy or something. Anyway, it came home a day early. And when we got home, he didn't know we were going to get home that night. It was the middle of the night. We walk in the house, it's all quiet. He'd been home all alone. He's asleep in his room. We go into our room and there's a little light. His phone is sitting in our room, charging where it always does. And he didn't know we were going to be there. He was living the rules, not because we said, but because he was going to live the rules.
Because he said.
That's right. And when that happened, when I saw that, I was like, yes, this boy, he will never have an addiction. Or if it gets close, he will turn that thing off. He will always put the people first. Because he understands it. He's doing it for himself.
Yeah.
And we taught him how to do it. And I mean, we taught everybody, about people first and about the device and how to do that. But he really, truly lived it. And it's possible. So I guess the short answer is, what age should a kid get a phone? I mean, the shortest answer is, I like 18, but I know that doesn't work for everybody's life. 16 would be the minimum of their own phone. And even then, I like to call it a kid phone, and we own it. And so we owned his phone until he was 18, and then we gave it to him when he was going out on his own. So we owned it. So they couldn't say, you're taking my phone. Nope, it's not your phone. You don't give it as a birthday gift. You don't give it nothing like that. You just say, this is the phone that you can use. It is a kid phone. We own it. These are the rules of it. If you don't live the rules, then this is when you have to turn it over. And if we ask you to turn it over, you have to hand it to us. And you have to just tell them all of those things up front. But the best answer is, if they're self-governed,
If they
then
recognize and respect roles, theirs and yours, and can use their skills, then yeah.
They might be ready for it. There's a lot of change that happens between the ages of 14 and 16, though, just so you know.
True, so much.
And so I think, 16 is kind of that default age for people, and it's usually when they're driving and, dating maybe and stuff like that. And so yeah, it's a good time. But that's the short answer, I guess. So, and we've given you so much more, so much of the why, so much of the search situation, where we're at. And I've said a lot. Paige, is there anything else that you want to add that you feel like that we've missed or anything like that?
No, I think that's about it.
Yeah. All right. So everybody, there is a whole training on teachingselfgovernment.com that is called Parenting in a Tech Sexual World. So there's all the books, there's all the trainings, there's the TSG parenting course, the parenting mastery to get really the full training of self-government. But if you just want to do a deep dive into tech and the sex culture and how to navigate with that with your children. You can also get Parenting in a Tech Sexual World to add to any of your self-government learning. So go to teachingselfgovernment.com today. I'll see you there. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Teaching Self-Government podcast. For more information and resources to help unite your family, visit teachingselfgovernment.com.